Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Psalm 84. Hear now the word of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. For better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we celebrate with Psalm 84, a pilgrimage psalm. It is believed that this is one of the psalms that would have been prayed and possibly sung by the pilgrims in ancient Israel as they would travel to a festival there to Zion. And as they traveled along the way, they would remember how lovely is the place of God, especially once the temple was built there in Zion. It was known that there in the heart of the temple, the Holy of Holies, it was believed that that was there that the heavens and the earth came together. For the very presence of God was in that place. And so they were traveling to the place of God's presence, and their heart would burst and yearn. It says there that their soul yearned to be in God's presence. Their heart and their flesh literally cried out to know the presence of God. And I think about what a powerful presence and experience that would be to be in God's very presence. And what it is that they were looking forward to and hoping for and praying for, singing for all along that journey. The other day I was walking through a store and I was collecting some items and I heard a small child, a baby, who was crying out. And you could hear as the baby was crying, the parents trying to talk over the cries. They were talking to one another and the mom was trying to explain to this incomprehensive young father, the baby is hungry. Get the bottle out of the bag, give it to the baby. The baby is hungry. And you know, I was able to walk by, I stayed a little bit at the distance, but you could see those arms and legs of that baby in there. He or she, they were mad either way. They were hungry. They wanted bottle and they wanted it now. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, to have, you know, it says the heart and flesh crying out for God, to know the goodness of God and to know when it is gone, to know that we want it again. And yet how oftentimes in our spiritual journey, in our pilgrimage, do we find satisfaction in lesser things? That we never know that deep craving for God's presence because we're so busy being distracted by other things that we don't always know the goodness of God. A little while ago, Pastor Jen and myself, we were able to purchase a new-to-us used car. And in preparation to do that, we did one of my favorite activities. We sat down and read through the automobile issue of Consumer Reports. Just inwardly digested all these different cars and reliability and all of this and that. And of course, now that we've purchased the car, I can conceivably forget everything that I've learned, but no, what happens is now I drive down the road. The other day I was stopped at a traffic light, and in right across, in all three lanes on 200, there was cars in the exact same class. And I knew that that car, they're going to have braking issues down the road, and that car's really highly reliable, but I don't know about that car. What is it like to sit in that car? Never had sat in that car. And so my mind's just wandering along and driving along. I made my way all the way to I-75, thinking about all the different cars on the road. And then I ran across this quote by C.S. Lewis. And this is what he says. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I thought, ouch. But how true sometimes that is. We are far too easily pleased instead of having the desire and the craving to know the presence of God, to know the goodness of God, to know the grace of God. We have become too pleased with lesser things. And we don't know the deep yearning for the presence of God. It's been said that our desires reveal the state of our soul. And so one of the great questions that come out of the psalm is, what is the state of our soul? What is the state of our desires? Do we truly desire God? And of course, each one of us is in a different place in our lives, and each one of us then is on a pilgrimage. The more that we know about God, the more deeply we desire to know God's presence in a real and powerful way. And so it says, not only are blessed are those who find themselves in the dwelling of God, but blessed are those who find their strength in the Lord. And that is what is needed. Along the way, as we pilgrimage together towards the presence of God, knowing that God's presence is with us each and every day, we need to rely on that presence, that strength of God, to be able to make it. I love the Psalms. They are so realistic to life. The very next verse after it says that our strength comes from the Lord, it says, "For we travel through the valley of Baca," which means the valley of weeping, or the valley of tears. And what a unique imagery. This psalm is all about celebration. It's about going to festivity. It's about going to know the presence of God. And yet along the way, we travel at times through the valley of tears. We travel at times through the valley of weeping. We travel at times through difficult places along that journey. But we know, we can trust that we make it through those valleys precisely because of who God is and the strength that He has given to you. And it says in the psalm that they will make it. The pilgrim makes it to Zion, relying on strength upon strength. Strength upon strength, relying upon God's grace and His Spirit in our life. You know, one of the temptations at times is, it is a good thing for us as Christians to open our hearts to the Lord, to read Scripture on a regular basis, to go to God in prayer at a regular time. But at times, Christians, some of us, we begin to rely on our own good works. We begin to rely on ourselves and less upon God. And we see the things that happen. Ruin tends to come from it. The Apostle Peter, near the end of Jesus' ministry, you know, he was very confident in himself and what it is that he was able to commit to Christ and to his journey and to his mission. And there's a point where he said to Jesus, he said, "You know, these other disciples, they may deny you, but I will never deny you." And Jesus just looked at him and said, "When the cock crows, you'll have denied me three times." And we know that later on when Jesus is arrested, what happens? Someone in the crowd, they see Peter and they say, "Wait a minute, weren't you with this man?" And Peter says, "No, don't know him, never been around him." And upon denying him three times, what happens? The cock crows. And it says that Peter ran from that place and he wept. All of his self-confidence, everything he thought of in himself, he had betrayed. He had betrayed his master. He had betrayed his word. He had betrayed everything. And so it is so stark and amazing to see the risen, living Christ. As he has broken the bonds of sin and death and now is walking anew, and he walks up to Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." It's interesting that Jesus does not say that to Peter when Peter is full of himself, full of his own confidence, full of his own surety that he will never betray Christ. Jesus doesn't say it to Peter until Peter has fallen, until he is broken, until he has missed the mark. And it is only by God's grace and only by God's strength that Peter will make another day. And it's only then that Peter has learned that his confidence can only be found in God himself. It's only then that God says to him, "Feed my sheep." From what will Peter give them if it is not based and grounded in God's love and God's grace and God's strength? Blessed are those who know the strength of the Lord. And then finally, the psalm says to us, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Now at this point, the pilgrim has arrived. The pilgrim is now finally in the place of God. The pilgrim is finally able to say, it is better to spend one day in the courts of God than 1,000 elsewhere. I love Eugene Peterson's translation of this verse, where he says, it is better to have one day here in this beautiful sanctuary, than 1,000 days on Greek island beaches. I have to admit, Greek island beaches seem tempting. But it is better to have one day in the presence of God, the one who can heal, the one who can renew, the one who can forgive, the one who can give new life, than 1,000 elsewhere. This is what God calls for us. To be in God's presence and for his presence to be in us, to trust in him. Now, as we as Christians, as we read this, we know that there's something to this journey that's happening. There's something that can help us read this psalm anew. Because the pilgrim who was praying the psalm and singing this song years ago, they were talking about a journey to Zion. And eventually the temple would be built there with the heart, the Holy of Holies. But we know that that's not where the story ends. The story continues on, and we find it in the Gospel of John, where it is written in chapter 1, and the Word, by which everything was created, became flesh and dwelt among us. And just in case we miss what that means, the import of what he's saying, John later on, in just a chapter or two, he has Jesus talking to some others, and he says, look, tear this temple down and I will build it in 3 days. And of course, the people who are hearing Jesus, they don't understand what he's saying. It took decades to build the temple. What does he mean if you tear this temple down, I will rebuild it in 3 days? And of course, John helps the reader know he's not talking about that big temple built with all those stones. He's talking about the body of Jesus. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that grand temple in the Holy of Holies was ultimately pointing to Jesus himself, the very presence of God now walking the dusty roads of Galilee. But that's not where he stayed. He remained faithful to the call of God upon his life and his identification with us and our brokenness and in our sin all the way to the point of the cross. And that's what makes him so different. God himself took our sin upon himself. He did what we could never do for ourselves. He took our sin upon himself and overcame that brokenness, overcame that darkness, overcame that power, that we may have new life. And in his resurrection, the power of God's love cracked open and broke the darkness and power of death. So that Jesus walked along with his disciples. And when he ascended to heaven, he did exactly as he promised. He sent the Holy Spirit upon the church so that the very presence of God could be alive now in us. In the New Testament, we see this magnificent revealing that the temple of the Old Testament was pointing to something, to a new temple that would be coming, a temple made of each of us, living stones. The Holy Spirit in each one of us together. And of course, it's not just all of us, but as the Apostle Paul would say in his letter to the Corinthians, he would say, "Do you not know you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You yourself are a temple of the Holy Spirit." Which brings us back to this psalm. How lovely is the dwelling place of the presence of the Lord. That's you. For by God's Spirit, your heart can and will be transformed. I know some of you have mentioned to me, you've said, "You know, I'm still surprised I came into the church and the roof did not fall down." Because God's grace is greater than this roof. God's grace is alive and real in you, and God can transform your heart and your life from glory to glory, that through you His love may be revealed. And so we can say with joy and thanksgiving, how lovely is the dwelling place of God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that it is by trusting in you that you make your dwelling place in our hearts. And Lord, may we ever be strengthened by your love and your grace, that we may walk each and every day a pilgrimage in your love, that we may be transformed by your abiding Spirit, that people may see and know the beauty of who you are. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.